Take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark and the 14th chapter. We've come to the last major section in the book of Mark. We just finished chapter 13, Jesus teaching about the future events in the Olivet Discourse. And then beginning in chapter 14, through the end of the book, we look at that last period of Christ's life, which is just a very short time leading up to his death. And the gospel writer here, through the Holy Spirit, shows us that this is an important time by the amount of detail that he gives to it. This is the central point in the life of Jesus Christ, not only that, but in all of Scripture, the time leading up to his sacrificial death on the cross. So this is an important section here. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11, which show a life that is devoted to Christ, that is surrounded, at least here in this passage, by the lives of men who are not devoted to Christ. So let's begin by reading first 11 verses here. I'll begin in Mark 14, verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for the poor. It might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. When they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Probably most of you heard of the tragic events that happened about 2 weeks ago in Indianapolis with the accident of the bus that was coming back from the camp, Christian camp in Michigan, from Colonial Hills Baptist Church there in Indianapolis. And I was watching some of there was a news conference there just after that some of the family members spoke about the tragedy. And there was, of course, as you know, the youth pastor there at that church, Chad Phelps, his wife Courtney, and their unborn child were killed, along with another sponsor. And the pastor there is the father of the youth pastor. But I listened to him comment on some of the events that happened there. And apparently, Courtney was responsible in some way for saving the life of her 2-year-old son. In the final moments, somehow she pushed him to safety into the arms of a rescuer, and he was safe. And I was just struck by the sacrifice that boy surely will always remember about his parents, and especially of his mother. A tremendous tragedy there, tremendous sacrifice, and certainly there are many lessons that can be learned from that event. But one of the things that points us to is the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us when he gave himself on the cross. And in this passage of Scripture, we are reminded of that. And we're reminded of that in a unique way. We see here the intentional sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This story of the woman who devoted something to Jesus Christ is surrounded by the plotting of the chief priests and the scribes at the beginning, and then in verses 10 and 11, by the action of Judas. And it seems that what God is doing is trying to highlight a number of things, but one of the things we realize is how God intentionally planned Jesus Christ's death to be at a specific time. You notice in verse 1, actually verse 2, that these religious leaders are planning his death so it would not be at the feast time. That was their specific intention. They say in verse 2, not on the feast. What feast are they talking about? The Passover. And yet at the end of this section here, they receive this offer from Judas. And they're glad to receive that offer. But what does that offer do? It, in God's plan, makes this sacrifice of Jesus Christ to be on the Passover, showing that Christ is the Passover lamb sacrificed for us. But doesn't that show the planning, the intentional sacrifice that God gave in Jesus Christ? And I want us to think about that intentional sacrifice tonight and what that means for us. Because of that intentional sacrifice for us, that means that we need to do something. And that action, I think we could describe as devotion. Because of the intentional sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you must devote yourself to Him. And we see in this text two examples of devotion. We see a negative example, first of all, in the actions of the religious leaders and Judas. And we see a positive example in the action of this woman, who was Mary, as the book of John tells us. So because of Jesus' intentional sacrifice, that demands that we devote ourselves to Him. And we do that in two ways. The negative example shows us that we must devote our character to Him. Because of Jesus' intentional sacrifice, devote your character to Him. We see that through the negative example of the chief priests and scribes first. And notice a couple descriptions of their character, which actually is undevoted character. It's character that is not given over to God. What does that kind of character look like? Well, we see a description of that. One characteristic of that undevoted character is that it conceals evil intentions. It conceals evil intentions. Look at verse 1 again. After 2 days was the feast of Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. That word craft means by deceit or by cunning. They were planning to somehow trick him into a capture that would result in his death. They didn't want to be upfront about it. They wanted to do it in a deceitful way, by craft. And verse 2 tells us that they didn't want to do it during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. So they wanted to take care of Jesus and kill him out of the public view. They wanted to make sure that no one, as few people as possible, knew about it. They didn't want a big stir about it. And that shows us something about their character, that they were concealing their evil intentions. They did not want people to know about that. They wanted to do it deceitfully. And I think that shows us a description of undevoted character. Character that's not given to God conceals evil intentions. People that don't, that aren't submitted to God, they try to conceal the evil that they have planned. I think that's what we see in these men. Not only that, but at the end of this section here, verses 10 and 11, Judas is an example here of undevoted character. And what we see with him is his evil motivations. Undevoted character contains evil motivations. Excuse me. We see that Judas was motivated by greed to betray Jesus. When we read John's account of this story of the woman's devotion, we learn that it was Judas who actually spoke out about what she did. John chapter 12, verse 4 says, "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Verse 6 tells us the reason he said that. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. So we know for a fact that he was driven by greed. And the reason he spoke out against that woman's action was because he had an evil motivation. We can see that there. We also see that he wanted money for his betrayal. Verse 11 tells us that he was promised money. And Matthew chapter 26, verse 15 reveals that that was an amount of 30 pieces of silver. So he was motivated by greed to betray Jesus. We also know that he was motivated by something else, someone else, and that was the devil. The devil himself motivated Judas to do what he did. Luke chapter 22, verse 3 tells us that he was motivated by Satan. So undevoted character contains evil motivations. And then a third characteristic of undevoted character is that it caves to an evil priority. It caves to an evil priority. And we see that again in the chief priests and scribes in the taking of Judas' offer. verse 11 says, "When they heard it, they were glad." They had made these plans to take Jesus after the feast, but here they have this offer. Okay, plans change. We're glad to have this offer because it allows us to do what we really want to do. So it caves. They caved their plans to an evil priority. So that's the negative example here of undevoted character. But it reminds us that there is a need to devote your character to God. Because of Christ's sacrifice for you, you must devote your character to Him. These men demonstrate that their character is in need of a change. Something was needed to change their character. And maybe that's a reminder that your character needs to be changed too. And maybe that's seen through a concealment of an evil intention, or through an evil motivation, or through making an evil priority your focus in life. If that's true in your life, your character needs to be changed. And that's the first way that we devote ourselves to God, is by devoting your character, your inner man, to God. And that happens, first of all, when you submit to Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And that may be the need in your life, I don't know, or maybe it's just the need to confess your sin of an evil motivation or an evil intention and to restore that fellowship with the Lord. But that's what the Lord wants us to do, devote our character to Him because of what Jesus has done in sacrificing Himself for us. We need to devote our character to Him. And then there's a second thing we need to do because of Jesus' intentional sacrifice for us, and that is seen through the good example of this woman, Mary of Bethany. So not only do we need to devote our character to Him, we also need to devote our resources to Him. That's what this woman teaches us. Not only devote our character, she had done that already. We could see that. But we need to devote our resources to Him. As we look at this account of what happened, I think we can see several principles for devoting our resources to God. And there may be several more, but I want to show you several here in this text. And I think we see the first one in verse 6 in Jesus' response to what she did. Jesus said, look at verse 6, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me." I think that shows us the first principle here, and that is to honor God with your motive in sacrificial devotion. Honor God with your motive in sacrificial devotion. Notice that Jesus says, "She hath wrought a good work on me." He could see that the reason that she had done this work in anointing him with this ointment was to honor him. It was to do something to him. And that's something we need to remember in connection with sacrificially devoting our resources to God, is to make sure that we have the right motive, and that is to honor God, to make sure our focus is God. You know, there's lots of different forms of religious devotion that can be done, and some of those things can be done with the right aim of honoring God, and some of them can be done with a different aim altogether, a different motive. And that may be, having the wrong motivation for doing something or not doing something may be the reason we either do something to honor God or not do it. You know, sometimes we don't do things that we should do because we have the wrong motivation. You know, we can't do something good enough, we think. You know, how many perfectionists do we have in here? Right? Any perfectionists? Maybe I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. And, if we really let ourselves think that way, that's really going to prevent us from doing a whole lot to honor God. Well, I can't do it as good as the other person can do it, so I'm not going to do it at all. Well, that is the wrong motivation. If you really think that way, that is having the wrong motive altogether. That's a motive that honors yourself. But the motive you need to have in your service and your devotion to God is honoring God. And that shows us, I think, that there's a lot of different forms of devotion that can have that aim. You know, it's not just everything that you do in church, in a worship service, that is sacrificial devotion. Certainly it includes those things. But other things in your life can have that same motivation of honoring God. Everything should have that same motivation. Whatever you do, going to work every day, whether it's cleaning at home, making a meal, taking care of the kids, it all should have the motivation, the ultimate goal of, as Jesus says, on me, towards Jesus Christ, towards honoring God. And that's the ultimate motivation. So honor God with your motive in your sacrificial devotion. And you know, it can still be honoring to God even if it's something that gets highly criticized. We see that in this passage, don't we? Mary's action was highly criticized by Jesus' disciples even, we learn in John chapter 12. And they were led by a bad man to do that. There were others that joined in that criticism with Judas. And even though it was highly criticized, it was still honoring to God. And so we may face that in sacrificial devotion as well. And there's a second principle I think we see here in verse 7. And that is to take advantage of special opportunities of sacrificial devotion. Look at verse 7 again. Jesus says, "For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me, ye have not always." Jesus wasn't saying we never should minister to the poor. He certainly commends ministering to those that are in need. Matthew chapter 25, he even says that ministering to those in need is equated with ministering to the Lord himself. But this text seems to be showing us that there are specific acts of devotion that may only be available for a limited time. And there may be an opportunity to devote our resources to the Lord, to Him, that just has a small window of time. And we see what this woman did was she took advantage of that time and she devoted what she had to the Lord. And that's a reminder that your opportunities to serve may not be the same as everyone else's. We may have different opportunities of service, and they may only be there for just a short window of time. Whether that's because people are always moving around, they're here one moment, gone the next, you meet somebody. I don't know what it is, but there may be just a limited amount of time that you have to serve the Lord in a specific way. And you need to take advantage of those special opportunities for sacrificial devotion. So honor God with your motive in sacrificial devotion. Number two, take advantage of special opportunities for sacrificial devotion. And then there's a third principle in verse 8. Look at verse 8. Jesus said, "She hath done what she could." She hath done what she could. You know, we almost get the idea that it was a very little thing that she did. She just did what she could. You know, don't be so hard on her. But that's not at all what this text is saying. Literally, it says, what she had, she did. What she had, she did. In other words, this woman did not just do a little thing. She gave to the full extent of her ability at that point. And we see that in the description here, in the fact that what she gave was very costly. What she devoted to the Lord was very costly. The container, it was alabaster. Look back at verse 3, the description here. There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment. The box itself shows that it was costly. Alabaster is a type of marble that is gotten from Egypt. This container, and it was for this ointment, box of ointment of spikenard. Very precious, it says. Spikenard is something that is extracted from a root, the nard root, and from India. Nard plant in India, it comes, and it says it was very precious. And we also see that it was costly in the fact that the reaction it got from the disciples, especially Judas, and they put an estimate on it. Look at verse 5 again. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. And the word there for pence is a denarius. And you know what a denarius is? It's the amount of an average day of labor for a worker. So if we try to put that in modern terms, at minimum wage, the amount possibly that this may have been worth today is $18,840 at a minimum wage, 8 hours a day. If we jump it up to $10 an hour, that's $24,000 that we're talking. $24,000, and she just poured it out. All right, that was a costly sacrifice. She didn't just say, "Well, I think I'll just use 3 drops, and then I'll have $15,000. I can sell that and live off that for a little while." No, she gave all of it, completely. I think that shows us another principle here, and that is a third principle: devote all of your resources to God. Devote all of your resources to God. You say, "Wait a minute, Pastor Howard, are you telling me that I need to give all my money to the church?" I'm not saying that. You can if you want. But it still means that you must devote all of your resources to the Lord. Everything that you have came from God anyway, did it not? And so you must devote everything that you have to the Lord. That means your money, obviously. That means your time. That means your most prized possessions, your children. They are the Lord's. So devote them to the Lord. Give them to the Lord completely. You remember what Paul told about the churches of Macedonia in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He talked about their giving. He said, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." And then listen to this down in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 8, 5. "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord." They gave their own selves first. That's what this text is teaching us. Devote all of your resources to the Lord. Everything that you have is the Lord's. So give it to Him. That's the first step. Devote all of your resources to God. That's what this woman showed that she was willing to do. And then there's another principle in the second part of verse 8. Look at verse 8 again. "She has done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying." Unlike the disciples, it seems like she had an awareness of what was coming for Jesus. I don't know that the disciples really understood that at this point. It seems like Mary did. And that makes sense because Mary was somebody who was a good listener. Remember, she sat at Jesus' feet, Luke chapter 10, and heard His word. I think she understood that Jesus was about to give Himself in His sacrifice. And that's a reminder that in our devotion, in our sacrificial devotion, we need to remember Christ's ultimate sacrifice. And that's kind of a repetition of the main point here. But that's an important principle. Remember Christ's ultimate sacrifice. She came to anoint His body, knowing, I think, that He was about to die, that He was about to give Himself willingly. Remember Christ's ultimate sacrifice. And then I think we see a fifth principle in verse 9. Look at verse 9. "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." So Jesus promised to memorialize her action forever. And I think that was fulfilled in what we're doing tonight. We're reading this passage in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus memorialized her action in the gospel. And every time people read this gospel and proclaim this gospel of Mark, we are influenced by her action. That was by design. And I think the principle there is that we need to recognize the continuing influence of sacrificial devotion. Jesus chose to make her influence continual by recording it here in the Gospel of Mark. And there may be ways that He chooses to continue the influence of your sacrificial devotion. I don't know. That's up to God. And whether He chooses to memorialize your name or not, that's His choice. But that's a possibility, that your act of sacrificial devotion may be influential on somebody else. And certainly all of us can think of people who have made great sacrifice and they have influenced our own lives. And perhaps that's a continuing application here of that verse. So how do we devote our resources? Well, we need to make sure our motive is right. Take advantage of special opportunities for sacrificial devotion. And devote all of your resources to God. Whatever you have, it's God's. Give it to the Lord. And even your giving financially is just a token of the fact that you recognize that it's all God's. And He can do what He wants with it. And then remember Christ's ultimate sacrifice as you devote your resources and recognize the continuing influence of sacrificial devotion. So the reason for all that is what we're going to be considering here in these next chapters and verses, and that is the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that he gave all for us on the cross. And it's because of that, it's because of what he has done, we need to devote ourselves to him. And that starts internally. It starts with your character, making sure that your character is devoted to him. And then that's worked out through devoting your resources to him, just as this woman did. I think the words of Isaac Watts sum up the message of this passage. He said in his hymn, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Christ's sacrifice for us demands our complete devotion to God. May the Lord help us to do that. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you planned that event for us so that we might not have to face your wrath and so that we can have our sins forgiven, have a relationship with you. And Lord, please help us to devote ourselves to you every day, to present ourselves, present our bodies, present our lives to you. Help us to recognize that everything we have is yours. And we pray that you would use us because we have that attitude within us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.